Well, it's good to be here tonight. I'd like to say before I get started, I really appreciate your pastor, and I really mean that. Haven't known him for a real long time, but I don't know. I was thinking, I don't know if this church realizes it or not, but I remember the first time I heard him preach. I didn't even know who Eugene Crouch was, and he was preaching revival, and I thought, well, I'll go see who this guy is. And I was just amazed at how he could preach. And in the day that we live in, it seems there's very little expository preaching that goes on anymore. And you guys have got a good one. And you ought to appreciate that. And let me just say this from a preacher standpoint, because he'll never tell you this, but you don't preach like that without a lot of work and a lot of time. It doesn't just accidentally happen. You get up and do it. It takes a lot of work, and it's very obvious that he has a passion for the Word of God. You know, you can't preach like that if you don't love it. If you don't have a passion for it. I mean, you don't do that because you have to. You do that because you want to, right? And so I appreciate your pastor. I appreciate the invitation tonight. Also, my son has already kind of poked fun at Brother Josh a little bit, but. He's become so dear to us and helps us out several times in a bind. Brother Josh has come and bailed us out and helped us at youth camp. And Brother Josh is also such a good preacher. And what a passion he preaches with. When you see Brother Josh, he's just giving it everything he's got. And that blesses my heart. And I'm glad to be associated with people that love the Lord. Amen? And so... Brother Eugene asked me to come and preach, and I have been praying and earnestly desiring to bring a message and have prayed and prayed. And, you know, you like, this is the first time I've ever got to preach here. You like to come and just preach one of the messages. Everybody said, man, that was just a great message. They shouted the house down, and everybody's just bragging about how good it was and how much they enjoyed it. And that's what I really wanted the Lord to give me. So I just couldn't get this scripture off my mind, and I've went over it and over it and over it, and I don't have an outline tonight. I really just wanted to go a different direction, and if I could just confess my sins a little bit, all the way up here, I just thought, Lord, nobody's going to want to hear this message. I commend Brother Eugene and Brother Josh and some of the other ones said, boy, we just can't wait to hear you, and I thought, well, what I have... you're not going to be that excited about it. And Brother Josh was up here talking about the valley of dry bones, how the Lord breathed breath back into them. I started to feel the Lord stir my heart. And the Lord said, do you ever think somebody maybe needs that message you're going to preach tonight? See, we want to do what we think everybody will like, and maybe we'll... be popular, but God knows what we need. And the good thing about me preaching tonight, for most of you, I do appreciate all the Sandhill people that are here from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate not only the singers, but all of those that came to support us. We appreciate that from the bottom of our heart. But besides most of you, I don't know. So I can just get up and preach, and I'm not preaching at nobody. I don't know your life. I don't know anything about you. I can just preach what the Bible says, and I will do my very best tonight to stay in the Bible. But before I read the text tonight, I just want to say this. We are saved by grace, not of works. It's of grace. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. I do not believe the determining factor of going to heaven or going to hell is how good we live or if we perform up to a certain level. I do not believe that. I believe that it is wholly by grace. But I want to say this tonight. Even though I believe that, I want to be the best Christian I can be. See, if you take grace and say that allows me to live as far away from God as I can, you got it all wrong. That's not the point of grace. The fact that the Lord shed his blood to pay for my sins is not a good reason for me not to live up to the Word of God. And so I want to live the very best Christian life that I can for the Lord. And I believe every word in here. Amen? I believe every word in here. And I believe we are to take it literally. Sometimes we come to scriptures and we want to twist them around and make them not what they say. But tonight, I'm just going to preach what the Bible says, all right? Is that all right? So enough rambling. Let's get into the Word of God. I'll be reading in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. And we'll start reading with verse 43. Are we there? Verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Let us pray. Lord, I'm so very thankful and so very humbled, Lord, to be here tonight. Lord, this precious people you've allowed us to stand before, and Lord, all we have is your word. And tonight I pray that I would not get in your way. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, let them see you. Lord, let them see your word. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts. Let us understand what your word says. Lord, let us have a closer walk with you, I pray. Lord, if there be lost here, would you save them tonight, I pray. Lord, bring revival to this church, I pray, in a special way tonight. In Jesus' holy name, and amen. Jesus starts out the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus starts out and he says, ye have heard that it hath been said. And that is a way of saying that's what the religious crowd is saying. This is kind of what has been told to you, that you are to love, that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Jesus said, I got a different idea. We're going to love our enemies. And the way that you've always been taught, the way that the religious leaders have told you to do, that's not the right way. And that's kind of what the whole Sermon on the Mount is about, is correcting what has been done. But here's the title of my message tonight, and here's what stood out to me, and here's what I just couldn't get away from. Ever since I read it, every time I try to get away from this is what I keep coming back to. But look at verse 47. What do ye more than others? I just couldn't get away from that. I want to ask you tonight, every Christian that is here, what is different about you than everybody else? What's different about you than the world? If the world looks at you and they say, he's a Christian, she's a Christian, is there a difference between you and the world? Now, in the day that we live in, we know that there's a lot of things that are messed up, amen? There's just a lot of things that are messed up. And we know that in the day that we live in, that there are a lot of people who profess to be Christians that are living very sinful lives, right? And we have, Brother Eugene, I never thought I would see the day, but we have people who say they're Christians and they cuss. We have people who say they're Christians and they lie. We have people who say they're Christians and they drink and they do all kinds of evil things, but they still say they're saved. And you and I
can look at them and we can say, well, yeah, there's no difference between them and the world. They're just like the world, right? And my guess is most of us tonight here would say, that's not Christianity, right? But I wonder sometimes if I can get this across. The Lord has really spoke to me on this. We sometimes think we've got it all together. And here's what the Lord, if you could just allow me tonight, this is what the Lord's been dealing with me on. I'm different than the world. Look how I dress. I'm different than the world. I read the Bible. I'm different than the world. I pray. I'm different than the world. I go to church. This is what the Lord said to me. Please understand what I'm saying. The Muslims do all of those things better than we do. There's no one in here that's as modest as the Muslims. Amen? They pray every day. They go to their place of worship, whatever they call it. They're faithful. See, there are a lot of cults out there that are doing a lot of religious things. And there are a lot of people that are going to end up in hell that are very, very religious. And they dress a certain way and they have a standard. You know, there are a lot of standards and a lot of false cults that are a lot higher than our standards. But there's one thing that none of the cults have. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. You know, I could start a cult tonight. I could come up with some new religion. I could start a cult and I could have a list of rules. I'm not a very good speaker, but if I was, I could probably talk enough people into living by a certain set of rules. Amen? Got to dress a certain way. Got to do a certain thing. You're not allowed to do this. You have to do that. You know, we just have a long list of rules, and you have to live by them. And we could probably get people to live by those rules. But you know, there's one thing no one can ever do is change the heart. Amen. See, Brother Josh, Jesus did not come to give us religion. He come to give us a different heart. He come to make us different than the world. And what I'm trying to tell you is, see, there are a lot of Christians who are deceiving themselves, especially in the day and age we live in. And I know times are changing. And when I was a child, things were different. But there are people who think that if I go to church, the world's going to see Jesus. And if I dress a certain way, the world's going to see Jesus. And if I pray enough, the world's going to see Jesus. But you know, the world's not impressed by our religion. But they will be impressed when we live like Jesus. I'm starting to feel good now. See, when Jesus was here, you know, he broke a lot of rules. He's kind of a rule breaker. And they were constantly saying, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. And he came and he said, I'm the Son of God. I mean, you think this guy would have really high standards. But you know, except for the self-righteous religious person, Jesus was kind and gentle to every person he ever met. Brother Eugene, when they spit in his face, when they pulled the hair out of his face, he loved them. When they cut him down and mocked him and made fun of him, he had love. And I'm here to tell you tonight, that is what needs to be different about us than the world. Amen. Are we different than the world? Are we just like the world or are we different than the world? And see, I'm all for separation, and I'm all for standards, and I'm all for sanctification. You know, everybody knows the definition of the word sanctification is set apart. We are to be set apart from the world, and I'm all for all that. But listen, we can get it all right on the outside and not have it right on the inside.
Amen.
Now, I don't know most of you here, okay, so I'm just going to preach. But I have been around a little bit. Brother Eugene, I'm just going to preach because I don't know your people, so I'm just going to preach, brother. I've seen a lot of people with a suit and tie on, a Bible under their arm, putting their tithe in the offering, that were mean and hateful and hard to get along with. I've seen a lot of people hold grudges and hard feelings and unforgiveness. And I've seen a lot of people rude and revengeful. You're not going to talk to me that way. I'll get you back. What are you different than the world? Now look up here. Every human being that's ever been born has that inside of them. There's not a one of you here that if I smack you across the face, you're going to say, hallelujah, do it again. Right? Every one of you is going to want to get up and smack me back. Am I right? It's in our flesh. It's our human nature. Listen, if I do you wrong, you want to do me wrong. That is the human race. Listen, it goes across all race. Every child of Adam has that inside of them. There's revenge. There's getting back. There's bitterness. There's holding hard feelings. What do you different than others? And I wonder sometimes with Christians, are we just like the world? Because you know, if we're not loving and we're holding grudges and we're not forgiving, we're no different than the world. The word Christian, everybody knows, the word Christian means Christ-like. I want to be like Jesus. Jesus was always loving. To his enemies, his heart was never covered over by bitterness. I want to be different than the world. I want the world to see something in me that they say, that is not normal. That is not the natural way. What is wrong with you? And then I want them to say, I can't explain it. They're not just keeping rules. There's something different inside. Is anybody getting this? It's not just outward rule keeping. It's not just, listen, don't go out of here saying, Brother Gary doesn't believe in standards, Brother Gary. No, I'm not preaching. I believe in reading your Bible. I believe in praying. I believe in dressing. I'm not preaching. I'm saying we can get it all right on the outside, and the inside is still dirty. Now, if we look at what Jesus had to say, I mean, I read this and I think, he couldn't have been serious, and he really couldn't have meant what he wrote, but I believe the Bible is true, and I believe every word is true, and I believe we take it literally. So I want everyone here to think about this, because everybody here, there's not a person here who has not been hurt. Amen? Everybody here has been hurt. I would say probably everybody here has been talked bad about. Amen? Every one of you probably has intentionally been, someone's done something intentionally wrong to you. Someone has offended you. I mean, you go out to a restaurant and they get your order wrong. You go to Walmart and they take your parking spot, right? You're at work and the other employees, maybe they're trying to cut you down so they can get ahead of you. All around us, we're being done wrong. And let's just be grown up enough to say this. Inside the church, we get hurt. Amen? Here's the problem with church. It's just full of human beings. That's the problem with it. If we get rid of all them, we'd be in good shape, right? But all of us humans, we rub each other wrong. Listen, I love my wife with all of my heart. She's the most precious person in the whole wide world to me, and she is my very best friend, and I can't imagine life without her, but she rubs me the wrong way sometimes. So what about all of you? Amen? What about all of you? What I'm saying is you can't put this many people together and we don't have some problems. We're going to irritate one another. We're going to rub each other the wrong way. We're going to offend one another. The thing is not, I'm going to go to church and not get offended. The thing is, to go to church, how are you going to deal with it? Whole different thing. Now, let's look what Jesus said. Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Now, just starting off right there is a more than we can get a hold of. That word love, I looked it up, that is the word agape. And most of you heard that preached on over and over. The word agape, it's unconditional love. It's to think fondly of, to be crazy about, unconditionally. Now listen, he did not say when you're done wrong, you should act like everything's all right. He did not say put a smile on your face and bite your tongue. He did not say your blood is boiling, you hate their guts, but act like you like them. Right? He said, love them. That's a tall order. That's a tall order. Brother Eugene, someone's out in the foyer and they're just running you down and they're just saying how rotten you are and how you can't preach a lick and you're just the worst pastor ever was. And Jesus said you are to love them. The devil says, how dare they? I'll get them back. I'll fix them. And Jesus says, you will love them. You will love them. Unconditionally, not with your lips, not with your face, but with your heart, you will have feelings of love towards your enemies. Unless you're not human, that's hard. That's hard. Amen? But listen, he wasn't done here. Not only did he say we have to love them, so in our heart we actually have to feel passionately in love about them, even those who are doing us wrong, those who offend us, those who hurt us, those who we feel are doing it intentionally. Let me just stop the message here just for a minute. I've thought about this so many times. I've been in church all my life, and I've seen so many things, and I've been pastoring for a little while. But I've often thought about this because, you know, every church, and I don't know this church, don't know anybody here, but every church is full of people, and people have problems. But at Sand Hill, let me say this, at Sand Hill, I have often wondered, Brother Eugene, when we get to heaven, if the Lord would allow us to look over our shoulders, and I wonder how many of those things we fought about, it was never true. It was just the devil. You believe a devil can stir up our emotions, stir up our thoughts, make us think someone did something just, I hear it all the time, well, they did that just to get me. They probably didn't even know they did it. I know why he said that. He was throwing off on me. He probably didn't even know you were there. See, the devil messes with our mind, and we get things, and then we're in a big way wanting to get back. And I just wonder when we get to heaven if we won't look back and say, you know what? That was never true to start with. Right? But look what he says. Not only did he say we have to love them, he said we have to bless them. Oh, my goodness. Now we got to love them in our heart. See, he said this. He said, back to verse 47, what do you more than others? Are you any different than the world? If you do anybody, I guarantee you, if you go to work tomorrow, you go out into to the restaurant, wherever, and you do someone really wrong, you'll probably get cussed out. They'll probably go home and talk about you and run you down. They'll probably say all kinds of bad things about you. That's what humans do. You know what Jesus said? No. Are you different than that? Instead of cursing them, bless them. See, bless them. I know we don't maybe use that word so much today, and maybe we put it in our own words. Can I just say this? You know what he's really saying? Now listen, this is hard for everybody. It's hard for me. Not only do you have to love them, you have to say nice things about them. I mean, come on, Jesus, cut me a break here. They just got through cutting my guts out, telling everybody how terrible we are, and now you want me to love them in my heart and say nice things about them? Come on, Jesus. And he reminds me again, what do you more than others? Anybody can go out there and cut them down. Anybody can go out there and badmouth them. Are you any different than everybody else? I don't know if anybody else here believes it, but I believe Jesus was serious when he said this. I don't think this was a suggestion. I don't think this was to be taken and twisted around to mean something. I believe Jesus said what he meant. Love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. And Brother Josh, I don't care who you are, that's hard. Because there's something inside of us that you know, the book of James and different places in the Bible, it speaks about the tongue being unruly and so hard to control. But that tongue is so hard to control. And boy, you get offended and it just starts to flapping and it just starts to saying all kinds of things. And you can just say all kinds of things that God would never want you to say because you're hurt. But Jesus said, bless them. Bless them. Well, he's not done. He's not done. Not only do we have to love them, not only do we have to bless them, of all things, he said, do good. Do good to them. I'm reading this at home, and I'm arguing with the Lord all the way that this is not a good message. I said, Lord, this would be great for Sunday morning at Sand Hill. This was not good for revival, right? And I couldn't convince him, so here we are. But listen, love them, speak good about them, and then do something nice for them. What in the world is, what is, what planet is this guy from? Oh, he's not from this planet, is he? That's the point. Do we want to live like men, or do we want to live like sons of God? Who would let someone do them wrong and then go do something nice for them? Only a Christian. Only a Christian. Now, let's start putting this all together. Someone does you wrong. Someone hurts your feelings. Someone offends you. Someone you believe they deliberately did it. They did something that you don't like. As we've already said, it happens to all of us. He's already told us we have to love them in our heart, and we have to say nice things about them. Now he says, do good things unto them. Here's the problem. Kind of back to the rule-keeping thing. My guess is if I could convict you strong enough, there are many in here who would say, he did me wrong. I'll go buy him something to eat and I'll give it to him. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says you love him and with joy in your heart you say, I'm glad to be able to give this to you. Does anybody see this? How is that even possible? It's not possible. We'll get to that just in a minute. It's not possible. So we've got to love them, we've got to say nice things about them, and we've got to do good things for the people we don't like. And then he said, pray for them. Brother Josh, what in the world's going on? Pray for them. Now, how many of you, I don't raise your hand because probably everybody in here has done it, but how many of you have ever got down and tried to pray for someone you was mad at? I mean, you're mad at him, you go pray for him. Right? How far you really think those prayers are going? I mean, you're hurt, you're mad, you're really, what you're thinking is, God, please strike them dead with lightning, but bless them, Lord. right? No. See, what we got to do is he's saying, in your heart, you love those who do you wrong. And then you, with your mouth, are not running them down, but you are speaking nice to them. And then you do nice things for them. And then that person that did you wrong, who hurt you so bad, you get down and sincerely, earnestly pray, oh God, would you bless them? And you mean it. What do you different than others? What makes us different than the world? I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to be like the world. Can I say this? I don't want to be like Adam's kids. I don't want to be like Adam's kids. Listen, I'm not one anymore. I used to be. I traded dads. I jumped families. I was in Adam's family, and I jumped into Jesus' family.
Amen.
And now I'm a son of God, and I don't like the way Adam's kids act. But it's inside of me. And I try to get away from it, but it's still there. And it wells up, and it comes out. But I've been asking myself, been studying this, been mulling on it for quite a long time, and I've been asking myself, what do I do different than the world? Now look at verse 48. No, I'm sorry, I just about skipped something really important. So when you're loving them, you're blessing them, you're doing good to them, and you're praying for them, look at verse 45. This ought to make you want to shout. That word is connecting us to everything he just said in verse 44. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven.
Yeah.
He said, if you want to act like a child of God, this is how a child of God acts. You love your enemies, you pray for them, you bless them, and you do good things for them. And you'll start looking like you don't belong here. You'll start looking like you're not from Adam's race. We'll start looking like children of God. Now back where I started the message, the world is not impressed with a religion. Amen? And most of the world, it's a different world we live in today, and this world is so messed up, but because of so much corruption that has come out of the church, in the world's eyes, you got to understand this, in most of the world's eyes today, Jehovah's Witness, Catholic, Baptist, and Muslims, all same thing, right? They don't understand that we're trying to be Christians and they're, no, we're just religion. It's just religion. And religion is they've just got a list of rules they live by. Can I tell you the world's not impressed with that? How many here tonight think that if we started living what Jesus said, the world would be impressed? They'd be impressed. You know why? Because they know it's not humanly possible. Now, he says in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Perfect there is the word mature, the word complete. It means becoming sanctified. See, we all get saved. We know we're justified when we get saved and we give our hearts to the Lord and our sins are all taken away. And at that point, we probably have a lot of things to overcome. But as we move through progression, we ought to be becoming sanctified. And this word here is talking about when you become mature, this is what you act like. When you grow up. Now, I don't know you, okay? But I do know church people. Everything I've just said is really, really hard, and I understand that. But let's just bring it down where we all live. You know, there might be somebody here, I don't know your people. There might be somebody here who's got a bad temper, and you just fly off the handle and blow up at everything. But there's probably not a lot of that goes on in the church. You might be one of those, and we've all seen it. You might be one of those who go to church every Sunday and you hold hard feelings. You won't talk. You won't shake hands with somebody in the church. There's probably not a whole lot of you here. There may be all different variations of bitterness and wrath and things going on in the church. But most of the time, if you've been around church very long, those things start to get kind of weeded out. Right? I mean, if you're really a hothead and you just blow up and explode and get mad and carry on, you usually start getting sanctified or you leave a church, right? So typically those things are not, there's probably not a lot of people here like that. But what about this? Everything that I've just said to you tonight, where does that leave? They hurt my feelings. I'm just not going to be around them anymore. See, that's what good Christians do, right? That's what good Christians do. I'm not going to blow up and bite your head off and yell and scream. I'm just going to cold shoulder you, not be around you, pout a little while. In light of this scripture, does anybody see how wrong that is? See, what he's saying is, I want you to get this. I've been praying all day. I've been fighting with the Lord, telling him, give me another message. And right up to last minute, I was praying to give me a different message. But when I knew I couldn't get out of it, I've been praying all day long. I said, Lord, let me make it clear. Don't let them go out of here saying, yeah, that was good, brother, and didn't have an idea what I said. Let me make it clear. I want to make it clear tonight. When someone does you wrong, you are not to treat them differently. You are to love them. You're not to act different. You're not to distance yourself from them. You're not to be irritable. Not to be grouchy. Now here's something I want to show you. Don't raise your hand, but I'll raise mine. I'm grouchy sometimes. Okay? Some days I'm tired. Some days I've had a lot on me. Some days I'm just grouchy, okay. Sometimes I'm irritable. Sometimes someone does something to me and I'll walk around and I'm not looking very happy. Here's what I want every one of you to get: if you're human, you're probably going to have a hard time never doing that again. But you need to start feeling bad when you do it. Now, let me get real close to the vine here. It's not right to do your brothers and sisters that way. It's also not right to do your wife that way. It's not right to do your kids that way. It's not right to do your mom and dad that way. It's not right to do anybody that way. Listen, there are times that I am grouchy. There are times I am not what I am supposed to be. There are times that Adam gets the best of me and I do what I shouldn't. But I feel bad and I have to go back to Renee and say, honey, I am sorry. I shouldn't have acted like that. Forgive me. Because I want to be different than the world. And I'm not standing here preaching to you that I've got this all figured out. And I'm not standing here preaching that this is easy. And I'm not standing here preaching that we won't mess up again. I'm saying we need to start understanding we're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be different than the world. You guys are in revival and all of the great comments about last night and Brother Denver with you. I hope that God just brings great revival to us. And I would like to have something tonight that the church could have just shouted all over the house for. And I know this isn't that kind of message. And I don't know why the Lord brought that, but I do know this. Unforgiveness will bind the spirit. It will hinder your walk with the Lord. When you hold on to things and you won't let go of them, it will keep you from growing. You know, Jesus even said this in the gospel. He said, when you come and putting it in our understanding today, when you come to church to give your offering, when you come to church to worship God, and you figure out you've got something against somebody, don't even bother. Go get it right with them and then worship me. What he's saying is, you can't come to church with hard feelings and want me to bless you. If this church wants revival, I have no idea. Maybe there's not a soul here that doesn't love everybody here, but I'm just saying it will hinder the Lord from blessing you when you hold on to things. Now, let me close with this. This is impossible, right? This is not possible. Everybody, I think everybody here knows this is not possible. What I just preached to you is absolutely impossible. And there's no cult anywhere that can come up with a list of rules and say, these are the rules you got to keep. See, they might say you can act like you love, but they can't make anybody love. Are you getting it? So how do we pull off changing what's on the inside? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. You know, there's all the works of the flesh, you know, adultery and fornication and lasciviousness, all those nasty, ugly things. But then we come to the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know the difference? Adam's kids are playing out the works of the flesh. Adam's kids are living by those rules. Adam's kids are running after the lust of the flesh. But God's kids are supposed to be filled with the Spirit, which changes them from the inside out and makes them different. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering. See, you can't do this. It doesn't matter if you believe me or not. You can't do what I preach tonight. It's not possible. You can come up here and pray all day. You can make up your mind. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's not humanly possible. Amen? It's not humanly possible. But when God takes control of the inside, he can bring out the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, I want to just hit this real quickly. Everything I just read, some of you probably are sitting there thinking, man, if I got to love my enemies and I got to pray for them and I got to do nice things for them and I got to bless them and say nice things about them, I'm going to be miserable, right? I'm missing out on all that revenge stuff. Well, here's the thing. He said when you're filled with the Spirit, not only does he give you love, but he gives you joy. Can you imagine being good to the one who's done you wrong and enjoying doing it? It would take God to do that. And then laying down and having peace, which is the fruit of the Spirit, because God took control of your life. I want to be different than others. I want to be what do you more than others. I want to be different than the world. I want to be different than others. And I don't want to just be different on the outside. I want to be different on the inside. Amen? Amen.